Thanks to Kerr's Hire, another edition of the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW, our focus. The Cats coming off a cracking win over the Gold Coast Suns up in Mackay at Great Barrier Reef Arena. What a great name for a stadium, but they're back Friday night, the Cats, at GMHBA Stadium, and it is a big game against the top of the ladder, Conference A, North Melbourne, who have won four straight. Lucky enough to be joined by Cat star Renee Gehring. Hello, Renee.
Hey, Kingy.
Well done. Congratulations. Two in a row. I think the Cats did it last year. You had back-to-back wins in season one for Geelong, but you've never won three in a row.
Yeah, look, let's hope this weekend's the first weekend. Obviously, we're doing all we can to prepare for that one, and we know it's going to be tough. North Melbourne, we looked at the side last year, and everyone knew that they were a very talented side, and they're coming into form in these last few games. But yeah, look, we're feeling confident coming off last weekend, and again, we'll look at the opposition tonight and prepare ourselves for Friday.
How have you recovered? Because conditions in Mackay are unlike any other that you're going to cop this AFLW season.
Yeah, no, everyone was a bit lethargic post-game and even during the game, I think, very different in terms of humidity more so. We've had heat before, but it's just that humidity and we were just soaking. Like, our uniforms were drenched through, added a few kilos of liquid on our uniforms and lost a few kilos in, I think, hydration in terms of losing the fluid ourselves. So, obviously, really important post-game in terms of recovery. A lot of that happening this week. And, I think everyone's feeling good. We had a light session last night and then head into proper training tonight in the lead up.
Okay. How much weight would you have dropped? How many kilos in?
Normally we would measure and we do pre and post game, but yep. The scales went missing. So we don't actually know this week, but we were all drinking a whole lot prior to the game and the same thing post. It was, everything, hydrolyte, all Gatorade, everything. To get ourselves right post.
The missing scales.
So, no, we all know that it would have been, I reckon, at least a couple of kilos. Normally in a game you lose at least a kilo to two, but it would have been well over two, I reckon.
So your role this year is to lay tackles, keep pressure on, and you did it to the absolute length of perfection in the first 3 or 4 minutes of the contest. You kept up your end of the deal in laying the tackle. I think it was Virgo that you brought down with an absolute cracking tackle. What happened when you went for your shot at goal?
Renee? Yeah, look, I should have kicked it. And I think that, I reflect on it now. And I watched it back a couple of times. Just obviously it's learning out of that. I've been working on my set shots and I suppose the lead up to those and your footwork and looking down at the ball and all those sorts of things. And a few people yelling at me around and I'd looked up at the wrong moment and she'd actually pretty intelligently set herself quite to the left, not on the mark. Quite to the left of the mark. And then I saw her and I must have adjusted to that rather than to where I had my ball lined up. So it's a learning experience. And next time, I did kick that a number of times last night at training and made sure that I was kicking that next time.
Do AFLW players sledge while somebody's having a shot at goal?
They do. I don't remember what they were saying, but they certainly were yelling at me left, right and centre.
What would they say to you? You're nice.
I don't know. It was something about that I was going to miss it and whatnot. But, it would have been nice if I had kicked it and then I'd be able to look at them. But, no, I'll learn from that and move on.
Yep. The win was fantastic in the terms of, I think, you kept them goalless after halftime and scoreless in one of the quarters in the second half as well, which was an outstanding defensive effort. But to, I suppose, being conditions that you're not used to, they are used to. I know it's a bit further north in Mackay, but the Gold Coast has similar humidity. A lot of those girls are Queenslanders, will be used to it. But that would probably be the most pleasing aspect, the way you ran out the contest and were able to shut them out in the second half.
Well, definitely. I think in the lead-up we're talking about that they are a fit and contested side and that they'll keep going, but the momentum we got in that third quarter and particularly after Rocky kicked the goal on the siren we were very excited and we just lifted and we felt them drop. They still obviously kept bringing the competition, but it was actually I think we as a side had the momentum and we kept pushing and were able to score and then keep it down our end, particularly in that third.
Yep. Some strong performances too. Gee, Astra O'Connor's in a really good vein of form at the moment, isn't she?
She is, yeah. She provides a lot all over the ground, obviously in the ruck, but her work off the ball, she laid a really great tackle herself and she's always there as an option and we know she's got a big leg on her. She can kick it a long distance, which is great. So we can utilise that around the ground.
Nothing against Reen Karras, but I think Asta seems to enjoy being basically one out in the ruck, whereas I reckon her footy's been better since Reen went out of the side.
Oh, look, I think she knows in terms of development for Reen, football's good for her, but I think Asta's just she's a leader in the way in which she goes about things, and it's not just what she's doing with the ball in hand, it's actually her talk and guidance of the players around her that actually do a lot for the team. So the more she's out there, even if she's not touching it, is really influential.
And she's rucking against Ballarat, who she's had a lot to do with
over
the journey with academy and the like. So, the master and the apprentice in a way, but Asta probably, goes, I know most of your tricks because I've taught you most of those tricks.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that's always handy, I think, when you got the experience and the knowledge, and she does, of a lot of those young players coming through.
So Friday night, is it a quiet night or do the girls get a chance to, you know, have a couple of quiet ones and enjoy each other's company, or was it on the flight early Saturday to get out of town?
We left on Saturday. A lot of us, a night game's always hard to get to sleep. So, we were just hung out in the lounge together and we sit around and talk, really, as girls do sometimes. Had a few board games and things going, but it was very quiet. But
what board games come out?
What do you mean? It's always a popular
what
one.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? It's a very it's a funny game where you you use sayings to go with pictures. So it's funny. It's good.
What's the game that everybody plays? It's a bit rough. Where it's the Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, it's a similar nature to that, but with images rather than filling in the gaps. Yeah. So it's a little bit look over your shoulder if mum's around at times, that kind of game. But it's always nice for everyone to relax and have a bit of a laugh.
Yep. And you've had a few days off. Hoodie faced the media today, but you were given basically, we travel home Saturday, but clear air Sunday, Monday, and back to the club Tuesday.
Yeah. It was nice actually to have the long weekend, and a few people went back home and Georgie Ranker was able to stay up north for a little bit while, and others went back to country towns and things like that. So everyone's well rested coming back to yesterday, but getting excited for the weekend.
There's only three games plus finals to go.
I know. It's a sad thought. I just try not to think about it too much that it'll be over before we know it. But we just try and stay in the moment as much as we can and focus on the week that we're in. Definitely wish it was a bit longer.
You're happy to answer a few questions?
Sure can.
All right. This is from our friends on Big Footy. Of course, Cat Attack Podcast is the forum, and you can post your questions there. We always ask for questions, but feel free to fire them through whenever you like. Some people were wondering if we were going to touch on the AFL boys on the weekend. Now, you boundary rode for K-Rock on Monday.
I did.
But we won't grill you about the Cats' performance there. We'll leave that up to others to do, not put you on the spot. Might be a bit awkward if one of the boys is listening and
I'll let other people go to that. No.
All right, Chris 9753. Thanks for the podcast. Never miss it. Well, thank you, Chris. That's very kind. We got one listener. I was surprised when Gold Coast and Brisbane drew a couple of weeks ago that they didn't play extra time, particularly considering the shorter quarters and shorter season. Do you have a preference, Renee, or are you happy with a draw, or would you prefer extra time to get a result? Good question.
Oh, it is a good question. I think it's the same in men's, isn't it? Like, it's for everyone. No one's that satisfied at the end of a draw. But I suppose it makes it a little bit more interesting in terms of the conference system that they've both got the 2 points and those are going to be pretty influential when it comes to the end. So I think if you decided to do that in AFL women's, then you're talking that for men's and other sports as well. I think in finals, obviously, it's a different story. Mm. You've got to get the result. But in season, we haven't been in that scenario to know what it feels like. Yep. But I think 2 points is better than none as well. So it's a bit of a... I suppose it would be unsatisfying in terms of not having a result in the end, especially if you're the team that should have won.
Yep.
But if you're the team that came back and gets a draw, I think I'd be happy with 2 points over a loss.
All right. This is also from Chris. If there's time, I don't expect there to be another question, but I will answer it. How much interaction do you have with the male players? Is there no interaction, an occasional walk past in the corridor, sometimes social functions or regular joint meetings and other interactions, or perhaps you interact quite frequently? How often do you cross paths with the men?
In the crossover, we do see them in the hallways and have a chat or in recovery, more so, but generally the boys are during the day are there, and that's their hours, and then we're obviously there from that 4:30, 5 o'clock mark, getting ourselves organised for the night. So in those situations, it's generally just a crossing paths, but we do have functions and player appearances and stuff where generally there is both male players and females,
yep.
Which is good. And then when the boys do start playing, they're obviously in recovery and things like that post-game when we're in there as well. Okay. So it's a bit more then.
Obviously, you've got your coaching staff, and I think Scotty Thompson's looking after the forwards this year with the girls. But is there an AFL men's player that you've done edits with or buddied up with to look at games and stuff like that?
Yeah, this season going into the forward line, Tom Atkins has been one that I was encouraged to watch some edits of some of the male players, and he was one that's probably similar that had played a lot of midfield time in the VFL, and then in the AFL men's he'd moved into the forward line. So yeah. I found it really valuable, actually. He gave up some of his time to sit down, go through some of his edits and some of the things that he'd been learning in his change of role. Yeah, so that's been really great. And then obviously doing the boundary and watching the men's games, it's been great to think about the things we've been chatting about and then watch actually how he plays it out in a game as well.
You're going to do a few games this year. I saw you sent through your availability.
I did, yes. Yeah.
So we'll definitely see you around two.
Yes, no, yep, yeah, I'm excited for that.
So hopefully beat Collingwood on the Saturday.
Yeah,
lock away a top three finish.
That would be perfect.
And then come on K-Rock on Sunday, and we're going to have a bit to talk about on the Sunday.
I like that plan.
And we can talk about you guys playing finals. All right, Daz Broncos all the way from LA. I do have a bone to pick with him. He's written, I noticed Liv was resting forward at some centre bounces. He is based in the US, but we don't spell centre C-E-N-T-E-R. We spell it C-E-N-T-R-E.
Yes.
Daz. No, that's being very picky on Daz. Seems like the group is really gelling together and players are growing confidence and ability each week. Astra O'Connor had her best game, in my opinion, for the Cats with some great tap work. We've touched on Astra her form. Liv did rest forward a little bit on Friday night.
Yeah, well, we try not to say rest forward, but she has been going forward. We know that she's one that, particularly off the balls going in deep, and she gets the footwork well and she can snap a goal quite easily. There's a couple that she did get to boot and that could have been goals had they been slightly different direction. But, yeah, look, she does well wherever she is, and it utilises Rocky getting up in the midfield at times, and it just gives a different look as well, which, yeah, it's been working.
All right. Does the coaching staff continually add new things to the structure and tactics each week, or is it more of what of this is what we have and we're going to master that before tinkering with it?
Oh, look, our structures don't change drastically from week to week. We do obviously look at the opposition and what their game style is and how we beat them. But it's really, I suppose, looking at what we did the previous week and what we can build on from the plan that we have. So we're not throwing out the plan and changing it depending on who we're playing. It's more just actually how do we play last week? What do we need to keep building on? What worked? What do we need to continue doing against this whoever we're playing the next week?
All right. Thank you, Daz. Broncos, sorry to poke fun at you, but you are an easy target. Winty, awesome win. Defensive pressure, particularly in the second half. Joy to watch. Does anyone in particular take control of the pre-game pump-up playlist? If so, who is that person and what sort of music is included?
Yeah, there's a bit of mixture. Mads Kerrick is generally. She's actually an up-and-coming DJ.
The Interceptor.
Yeah. So she's, don't want to get her name wrong, but I think she's named herself DJ Meow.
DJ Meow.
Now I might get that wrong. I'll better check with her tonight, but I'm pretty sure that's her name. She bought herself like a, I don't even know what it's called, a DJ thing where she does that.
She's got the basically.
She's got the system.
Yep.
She brought it to a get together we had over the break, and was yeah, was pumping loving it, actually. Pumping out the tunes, so mixing music.
So she's there with the headphones on and ear tilted sort of one way, and she's sort of rubbing her hands on the turntable.
That is exactly it, actually. Wow. When she's got her kit, when it's just pre-game, obviously she doesn't have all her equipment. So that it's would be more quite, just the iPod.
That would be quite funny if she rocked up with all the gear and she's in a jumper and that and just got the headphones on and, ladies, what are we requesting?
No, that's it. Well, you can't have phones, obviously, in the pre-game. So we've got the little iPod she's got set up with the music on it. So she does a good job. Everyone's always pretty happy. And when there's a win, it's on post-game as well, which is nice to get everyone up and about, a bit of dancing.
Who is king of the phones? Who is the person that takes possession?
Robert is one of our great staff. He gets around and has the Ziploc bags and pencil cases they are that we put them in and then get put away and delivers them post-game.
When can you get them? Is it can you have them straight after the game?
After the game. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know the exact ruling of it, but he's passing them around once we're finished and, everyone's finished.
What's the first thing you check on your phone once you get it back after being offline, basically, for a couple of
hours? Generally a message from the husband. He's usually pretty honest and but knows also, depending on how I've played, I think is more to the point, but it's just to check in and whether I need that encouragement or a bit of feedback that might be needed at that time is what I look for. So
have you ever replied with "what would you know"?
Yeah, no, I haven't. No, he's pretty good. He knows I'm the world's most critic of myself, so
All right. Turbo Cat, as a mature male 50 plus, I can say the last 2 weeks have been quite enjoyable to watch. There will always be something to improve on. Men, women are all imperfect and we always need to embrace the need for improvement. However, along with that, one should get accolades when doing something well. We have not brought in big games like Richmond. This is the man I think he's talking about. Mm-hmm. We give our chance to our girls from our area and our side continues to represent our club well. Well done. But I hope we don't let the team should not worry too much about negative personal comments if you are receiving any media banning comments in the papers. So Herald Sun had done that with their forum on women's stories. What did you make of that?
Yeah, look, I didn't read a lot of the, their reasoning for that. Yeah. But it doesn't take much to, you hear about what some of the comments are, and I suppose we'll use the Taylor Harris one as an example in terms of who's commenting and, a lot of the time it is people that don't actually watch the game and know a lot about it, and often it's about the scoreline, and if you're talking about the scoreline then you probably don't understand that the game is actually a completely different time length to the boys and all those sorts of things. So I think if that's the decision they've made based on the feedback they're getting, then that's completely up to them, I suppose. And if you're not doing that, then at least you need to be managing what is on there and whether that's actually helpful for young readers and things like that that might be looking at that, and young girls that are seeing comments that can see those and then maybe take something from that.
Yep. I guess most of the criticism comes from people who have forgotten how hard it is or have never played. It would be fun watching some of them trying to match their comments on the field. One cannot win an argument with an idiot. They will always drag you down to their level. Good luck against North. Big test against a form side. There is a question. It's to do with the jumpers. In terms of yours is different to the boys in that you both have the white collar, but then you've got the white stripe at the top with a little blue bit in between, and it's white, blue, as opposed to the boys being blue, white. But the club did put something out about why the jumper looked different, but it's different to last year's jumper, isn't it?
It is different to last year. Last year we had blue at the top from memory and then white below that. So, I think it was just to go with a different design. I think there's a number of examples that are brought from Cotton On that design the jumpers and things like that, and then they go with what they think. I don't know the exact reasoning behind that, but definitely there's different styles for the boys and girls, and obviously the jumpers are different sizes and all those sorts of things. So whoever's making the decisions, I'm sure they have a really good reason.
It says, if we compare the thinnest looking player on the man's list, and he's used a photo of Zach Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
I feel the bluer jumper would make our girls look more distinctive. So that's an opinion from Turbo Cat. The female player he's used in the photo?
Who's that?
You.
Oh, hey, look. I have actually been, I don't know who, can't remember who told me that I looked like Zach Guthrie at one point. And I was like, oh, blonde hair, is that the only similarity? I'm not sure. Yeah.
No, I can't see it.
Yeah.
Can't see it. Good looking man, Zach, but no, I can't see that. Yeah. Renee, you might need a late note from me because you need to get to the club. It's approaching 5 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Hopefully people are listening to this right through up until Friday night. Just very quickly before we go, though, I did say that I would mention this. So it's Endometriosis Awareness Month.
It is.
And it's shining a light on Endo, the game, on Friday night. So we're spreading awareness in March about endometriosis. Of course, 800,000 women are affected by it. Having known a couple of women who suffer from it, I know that it creates real issues with obviously a part of the body that you don't want having issues created. So to Kat Stanley, who's the creator of Talking Endo, fantastic initiative, and obviously something that we discussed in the lead up to the game on Friday night.
Yeah, we actually had Kat come to our training last night and chat with all of the girls, and it was really interesting and insightful, and we feel blessed that we can, I suppose, help to create some more awareness on the weekend. I think she's going to be there with a stall and some other things at the game. So anyone that is coming to the game, I think there's some things they're giving out of the yellow kind as well, and also some activities and things. So definitely get there.
Okay. Quite interesting. I would never thought when I started this podcast for AFLW this year that endometriosis and menstrual cycles with Mel Hickey 3 weeks ago were going to be discussed.
But as they should be. That's exactly right.
Correct. We're all open-minded here. Yeah. The Cat Attack podcast. Thanks to Curse High. Hey, Renee, good luck Friday night. Wish you the very best against the Kangaroos. It's going to be a cracking clash.
Thanks, Kingy.
This has been Thanks to Curse High, the Cat Attack podcast, for another week. We'll be back next week with Renee Gehring. We'll also be back with Benny Cass talking AFL men.
Curse Higher, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale, and Ocean Grove. CurseHire.com.au.